Good morning and welcome to worship. We're delighted that you're here, and a special welcome to those worshiping with us from home. Today we have altar flowers in honor of George Hanson's 90th birthday, which is today. And also we give thanks for the newly baptized great-granddaughters of George, Avery and Lula, and their parents, Andrew and Adrian, are here along with many of George's family members to celebrate this special occasion. As we prepare our hearts for worship, I invite you to turn to your bulletin for our brief order of confession and forgiveness. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. On that word of grace and promise, I invite you to take a moment for self-examination. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare unto you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you.
the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Almighty and most merciful God, your bountiful goodness fills all creation. Keep us safe from all that may hurt us, that whole and well in body and spirit, we may with grateful hearts accomplish all that you would have us do. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated and prepare your ears and your hearts to hear the Word of God.
First reading is from 2 Kings, the 5th chapter. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man and in high favor with his master. Because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram, the man, though a mighty warrior, suffered from leprosy. Now the Arameans, on one of their raids, had taken a young girl captive from the land of Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my Lord were the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to give death or life, that this man sends words to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Just look and see how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent a message to the king, "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come to me that he may learn that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horse and chariots and halted at the entrance of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, "Go wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored and you shall be clean." But Naaman became angry and went away saying, "I thought that for me he would surely come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and would wave his hand over the spot and cure the leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar the rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" He turned and went away in rage. But his servants approached and said to him, "Father, if the prophet had commanded you to do something difficult, would you not have done it? How much more when all he said to you was, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and immersed himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. His flesh was restored like the flesh of a young boy, and he was clean. Then he returned to the man of God, he and all his company. He came and stood before him and said, "Now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel." The word of the Lord.
You fix your sight on your servant's life.
The second reading is from 2 Timothy, the second chapter. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, a descendant of David. That is my gospel, for which I suffer hardship, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, so that they may also obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is sure. If we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Remind them of this, and warn them before God that they are to avoid wrangling over words, which does no good, but only ruins those who are listening. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved by him, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly explaining the word of the truth, the word of our Lord.
Gospel according to Luke, the 17th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When Jesus saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then Jesus said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. I'd like to focus today on our Old Testament reading, the story of Naaman and Elisha. This story is probably somewhat familiar to many of you, and there's a lot of different aspects and meanings that you could see in it that come out of it. Today I'd like to focus on just one thing. When the messenger from Elisha says to Naaman, "Wash and be clean." Naaman hears that direction and is offended. And he's offended for a few reasons. The first, of course, is that it wasn't Elisha himself who told it to him. And second was that he was really disappointed. He wanted Elisha to do some powerful thing. And you've probably heard these ideas explored before. But again, I want to look closer at the content of what's actually directed. What would be so bothersome with the words, wash and be clean? And those words don't mean as much to us as they would in the ancient Near East. The command to wash, the necessity of being clean, is nearly everywhere throughout the Old Testament. It wasn't a sanitary issue. They were washing ritually. And you're probably aware that the Old Testament are full of what we would call purity laws. These are mostly about ritual washings. They include washing before one eats, washing before one goes into a sanctuary, washing after one has been ritually defiled, such as if you've touched raw meat or a dead animal. And there are any number of scenarios where a person has become ritually impure. And in order to become pure, again, they go through a particular ritual. And many of you are probably familiar with the various lists of these purity rules, especially in the book of Leviticus. It's full of various rituals to respond to various situations. That's also probably why most of you don't spend too much time reading Leviticus. It's often seen as kind of boring, as it's very lengthy list of instructions for ritual purity and impurity that we don't tend to follow. But what we could sometimes lose in the seeming tedium there is what this washing was all about and what it was not about. First, purity rules, ritual washings, were not about morality. One didn't become ritually defiled because they did something wrong. Instead, one becomes ritually impure simply by living a normal life. If someone was acting wrongly, that is ethically and morally, they aren't told to do a ritual. They're told to stop acting ethically and morally wrong. It's not that complicated. But what the rituals are for preparation. Before one is ready to worship. When you go into the setting of worshiping God in the temple, in a synagogue, at the dinner table, with one's family, it was expected one prepares for worship. The ritual washings force one to pause. Recognize that when we enter a space of worship, we're doing something different than normal life. We're coming into a sacred space. In that way, ritual washings are about intentions. Are you ready to worship? Are you putting yourself in a place where you're ready to lift praises to God and give thanks to God? We do this in our service as we did this morning with our confession at forgiveness. We pause. We enter the space of worship, recognize something is different by coming here, and are ready to come together as a community of believers. Now, this relatively lengthy explanation of ritual washing might have some of you wondering what happened to Naaman and Elisha in this sermon. But remember what the messenger told to Naaman. Wash and be clean. Those words, wash and be clean, are ritual words. They're used all over the place in the Old Testament, but not for this kind of thing that Naaman wants. Curing him of a disease. Here, Naaman has some kind of skin disease that's translated for you as leprosy. These ritual purity terms are used everywhere, but to prepare someone for worship, to set intentions right in order to enter a sanctuary, not heal someone. And that might be one reason why Naaman is so upset by this direction. You can almost hear Naaman saying, "You think I came here to prepare to worship your God? He lives somewhere else. He has other gods." And these are about intentions, these purity rituals. And everything we read here, Naaman comes with terrible intentions as far as the worship of God goes. If you look carefully here, Naaman throughout this passage doesn't seem like a very good guy. He sees himself as very important, a commander of the army of the king of Aram. So important indeed that he's recorded in no other source, including records from Aram, present-day Syria. But he's sure he's important. He goes to Israel after he's captured a slave. He has his king, in the section we didn't read in our reading today, bully the king of Israel to cure him. And he's mad at Elisha because Elisha doesn't talk to him directly. You notice what he said? "I thought that for me, he would surely come out." You know, it's all about him. He's so important. And then he's given directions which he thinks are below him, and he doesn't want to do them. In fact, his intentions don't get better throughout this sequence. He only gets talked into actually doing it because his slave says, essentially, "Why not? What do you have to lose? It's not that hard of a direction." There's no sense anywhere that Naaman has any interest in God. No sense that he even thinks this is going to work. This is not a response of the faith that is within him. Naaman just seems to think he's too good for all of this. So when Naaman is repulsed by the idea that he's going to wash and be clean and be ready for worship, he's actually kind of being honest. Washing is supposed to be where we put our intentions in order to get ready for worship. He has no interest in doing that. He has no interest in worshiping the God of Israel. That's why he says, "If I'm going to go ritually wash, I'm going to do it in Aram. I have my own gods. I don't want anything to do with you. I came here to be healed." But the command persists. Wash and be clean. In fact, the first time the messenger says it, the longer form, he says, "Go wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean." Naaman wanted the first half. That's why he went. His flesh restored from skin disease, but had no interest in the second, to be clean and ready for worship. And eventually, of course, Naaman does it. He washes. And despite his best efforts, he is made clean. He comes with terrible intentions. He goes through the ritual only because he mathematically can't see a reason not to do so. And he's made clean. The ritual changes him. He's cured of his skin disease, but far more than that, the ritual did prepare him. After he does the ritual, he says, "Now I know there is no God in all the earth except in Israel." He's ready to worship Israel's God. And when he started, he had no intention of doing that. The washing ritual prepared him. But notice, he didn't prepare himself. It was the ritual. In all the rituals of washing and cleansing in the Old Testament, what prepares people to worship wasn't getting themselves ready, putting themselves in the right mindset. It was God. God working in that action. God coming to them and preparing them in their hearts and minds for worship. That's what we see here. Through the action, God has transformed Naaman. That transformation brings Naaman to new life. In fact, these rituals were so emotively powerful that in fact in a few of the prophets, we see them being used to talk about cleansing the community from sin, to transform them from one kind of people to another. Now, this has been a lengthy conversation about our text today, but I hope we could see that application to our lives. We don't have the same ritual actions that the Old Testament does. We like to think that when we come to worship, our intentions are better than Naaman's. But we recognize that in our entrance rituals that we have, we're being prepared to worship God. God's action in our lives daily is transformative. It's God who prepares us in this new life in Christ. Yesterday, we had the baptisms of Avery and Lula, those being prepared by God to enter a life of faith in God's family. Also this weekend, we had two celebrations of life for Tara Pratt and Peg Emery, where that baptismal life is recognized as living and empowering us in new life in Christ throughout all our days, and indeed, as we are united with Christ into God's good care after our death in a resurrection life. It is the new creation alive in us every day. Every step of our life, from our baptism to our death, is God preparing us to worship. Every step of our life in our baptismal identity, our ritual action of God preparing us, setting our intentions aright, because we're not able to set them aright ourselves. It's God acting in our lives. As Paul says, it's the Spirit within us crying out, Abba, Father. We aren't the ones shouting that. It's the Spirit alive within us. It's God preparing us in this life of worship for the presence of God to be alive in us. It is the faith from Christ that we are given, empowering and enlivening us every day so we can hear that command every day of our lives, wash and be clean. Every day, our baptismal life that we lead. Every day we have died with Christ and have been raised. We have been made clean and we are prepared by God to be the new creation together in worship, in receiving the sacrament, in prayer, and in community with one another. Thanks be to God. Amen. We'll continue to sing about our baptismal identity with our next hymn. Invite all those who are able to stand.
In gratitude and humility, let us pray together on behalf of God's creation. Gracious God, we give you thanks for our church council leaders, for musicians and vocalists, for our church staff, and for all the baptized. Inspire and equip us to use our gifts to further the mission to which you have called us, so that your grace and mercy may be known to all. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Majestic God, we give you thanks for land and water, seed time and harvest. Break down boundaries we construct between ourselves and the rest of your creation. Bring renewal and restoration to places affected by pollution, raging fires, hurricanes, and floods. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Mighty God, we give you thanks for those in our community, nation, and world who strive for justice and peace. Guide those who govern to work for the greater good of all. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful God, we give you thanks that you hear the cries of those in need. Restore to community those who struggle. Send healing to all who suffer and are in need. Especially this day, we remember before you Christopher Beller, Bonnie Betts, Betty Bruce, Aaron Couture, Claudia Hardwick, Marcia Henderson, Joy Lathrop, Lori Lund, and Marnie Reinmuth. For whom else do the people pray? For all those we've named aloud, for those we hold in our hearts, and for those known only to you, we pray. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Holy God, we give you thanks for the newly baptized Avery Camille and Lula Elizabeth, daughters of Adrian and Andrew, and great-granddaughters of George Hansen. We give you thanks for the new life that we share in Christ through the waters that unite us in baptism. God, in your mercy. Eternal God, we give you thanks for your faithful people who have gone before us to your glory. Be with all who grieve, especially we continue to lift up the families of Tara Pratt and Peg Emery, and renew our trust in your eternal promises of mercy, redemption, and new life. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us turn and share the peace by a gesture of waving to the people worshiping with us from home. They want to see your faces, and you can gesture a sign of peace to those around you as well. Let us pray. Gracious God, in your great love, you richly provide for our needs. Make of these gifts a banquet of blessing, and make us ready to share with all in need. Through Jesus Christ, who sets a table for all. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, O Lord, holy God, through Christ our Lord, who rose beyond the bounds of death, and as he had promised, poured out your spirit of life and power upon the chosen disciples and upon us. At this, the whole earth exults in boundless joy, and so with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Mighty and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, Jesus took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, Christ's death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray the prayer our Lord Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. These are the gifts of God, and they are given freely to us, the people of God. I invite you to be seated now and prepare to receive the bread in the form of a wafer, and then dip it into the cup. The cup has both red wine and white grape juice. And should you desire, we also have gluten-free wafers available. Just let your server know. This is Christ's meal, and it is Christ who bids you come. And now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. God of the abundant table, you have refreshed our hearts in this meal with bread for the journey. Give us your grace so that we are sustained on the road and that we might serve our neighbors with joy for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. A few announcements before we depart from the sanctuary. Following the service today, the children will meet in Godly Playroom, where David and myself will be teaching the lesson today. And so we invite you to go directly to the Godly Playroom. We'll begin at 9:45. So that leaves you a little bit of time here to grab a cookie or refreshments on the table. And then the adult class will be meeting with Pastor Ben in the library. So please join him there. Also want to invite you to our Together Tuesdays. You'll see information about that in the bulletin. We start with a meal at 5:15 and then have activities throughout the evening. And finally, I want to remind you that we are putting together a new picture directory, something that hasn't been done for well over 15 years, so it's time. And there are two steps we need you to do. One, if you haven't already, is to fill out the form that you can find online, or you can call the church office and Christy will verify that the information we have for you is correct. The second thing is to submit a picture. You can do that via email. There are instructions in the on the last page of the bulletin that tell you how to do that. You can submit a picture that way, or you can send one in the mail. We can scan then and add to our picture directory. We're producing this in-house, and so it's a new adventure trying to pull this information together and get it out as quickly as possible. We need your help in doing that. And finally, as I mentioned, we're celebrating with George Hansen today on his 90th birthday, and also a welcome to the baptismal family of Avery and Lula, who were baptized here yesterday. With those announcements, I'll invite all who are able to stand for our benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Thank you.
peace, serve the Lord.